invite the congregation to please stand as you are able as we sing Lutheran Service Book Hymn 624, The Infant Priest Was Wholly Born. Of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe I am a sinner.
How do you know this?
From the commandments which I have not kept.
Are you sorry for your sins? What have you deserved from God because of your sins? Do you hope to be saved? In whom then do you trust?
In my dear Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is Christ?
The Son of God, true God and man.
How many gods are there? What has Christ done for you that you trust in him?
He died for me, he shed his blood for me on the cross, for the forgiveness of sins.
Did the Father also die for you?
He did not. The Father is God
only, as is the Holy Spirit,
But the Son is both true God and true man. He died for me, shed his blood for me.
Do you believe, then, that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament?
Yes, I believe it.
What convinces you to believe this?
The word of Christ. Take heed,
this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood.
What should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood, in this way receive his pledge?
We should remember and proclaim his death and the shedding of his blood.
As he taught us,
this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Why should we remember and proclaim his death?
Christ, true God and Commander. Second, so we may learn to be horrified by our sins and regard them as very serious. Third, so we may find joy and comfort in Christ alone and through faith in him be saved.
What motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sins? Finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament?
That I may learn to believe that Christ, great love, died for my sin, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor.
What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently?
First, both the command and the promise of Christ the Lord. Second, his own pressing need, because of which the command, encouragement, promise are given.
But what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world. And remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble.
I invite the congregation to kneel, stand, or be seated. Having heard the word of God about the sacrament, let us now confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Amen. Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Congregation, please stand as we sing Lutheran Service Book Hymn 621, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, stanzas 1 through 3.
Thank you.
O Lord, in the wondrous sacrament you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I invite the congregation to be seated for the readings.
I'll be reading from the King James Version tonight. Follow along with your... And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for in a house, and if the house be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh of that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, or all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertence of thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for the token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. And when I smite the land of Egypt, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. cast away the sins of the world. Grant them rest. Grant them rest.
Grant them rest. Grant them rest.
Grant them rest. Grant them rest. Grant them everlasting rest.
The epistle tonight comes from the 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, starting with the 23rd verse. For I received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we were to judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. This is the word of the Lord.
To stand as you're able. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. For very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Let us join together in our confession of faith in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Congregation, may be seated for the hymn of the day. Lutheran Service Book, hymn 445, "When You Woke That Thursday Morning."
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for the meditation this evening comes from John chapter 13, especially verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How do we love one another? How do we imitate Christ in our lives? In the text, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. How do we wash one another's feet? Is this a literal practice? Perhaps today the significance has to do with who did the washing rather than the practice of washing the feet itself. For during this time, the unenviable task of washing feet was generally relegated to slaves or menial servants, the lowest of society. But yet Christ did stoop to this level. But why? Why? He who was greater than any other teacher, he who was higher than any other Lord, he who holds all things in his hands, he stooped down to the most menial task of washing dirty feet. So we get an image of what we are to be as his people. We are not to see any work as too low for us. Like Christ, we are to be slaves, literally, to one another, no matter how menial the labor. Martin Luther wrote at one point, "Our old Adam finds such washing of feet very sour work, for he would always prefer being served to being obliged to serve others. He is especially hurt when gratitude fails to follow. But the washing of feet is to continue even if little or no gratitude follows. Therefore, we need not only diligently practice, but also constant prayer that God would give us his grace to be patient and humble." Patient and humble. You see, even today, human nature hasn't changed much, has it, over time? It hasn't changed a bit since Dr. Luther penned these words. Perhaps we like to think of ourselves as being good servants to one another. But how many times do we shrink and back away from the dirtiest feet? For what is more repulsive than to slave away for someone or work hard or do something only to have them disdain or disrespect our efforts? And instead of joyfully serving, we become bitter. Perhaps even instead of volunteering for the hardest, most disgusting, dirtiest foot washings in our lives, we are apt to choose what we find to be more pleasant to do, or maybe even lighter work. Think about this. How many times have we looked at the person to determine whether we want to serve them or not? Indeed, for certain people, yes, we will stoop down for, while others we shrink away from. Thanks be to God as we gather this evening that Christ did not act this way. You see, Christ, who could see all the way into our secret heart of hearts where the awful blackness of sin ejects its foulness, And these men of whom we hear are just like us. Yet Christ knelt before them and scrubbed their dirty feet in an act of servitude. As his people, we should consider ourselves the lowest of all and superior to no one. Yet we count little slights that are done to us as if that person had forfeited any right of service from us. We live in a world of tit for tat, don't we? Yet the ultimate of all washings, the forgiveness of sins, flows freely to each one of us and to all people. We've been washed, as Christ says. We have been cleansed by the pure holy waters of baptism. Yet we still need forgiveness each day as we sin much. But what happens when someone comes to us and they've really hurt us? And that's what makes this so difficult for us on our own, because there are people who have truly been hurt by other people. They're truly been violated or wronged in many major ways. And so by our standards, it's okay not to forgive. It's okay to get back. It's okay to exact punishment. And so when sin is too egregious, we think, too heavy, too disgusting, can't do it, won't do it, forget about it. Lord, help us find joy in forgiving, no matter how greatly we are wronged. What greater privilege can there be than to erase the transgressions by the gospel? It's through the gospel we get to speak the cleansing words of Christ to others and to speak it in His place. But yet our hearts are cold and hard too often. We count the cost to ourselves. We cherish our hurt feelings as if we were the poor, innocent victims, as if our feelings of offense were more important than the gospel and the need of our brothers and sisters. Lord, help us imitate You, who didn't just stoop to our filthy feet, but You came into this filthy, dirty, broken world and immersed Yourself into the grime of sins all the way to the cross. And, O Lord, You did not shrink from taking the fullness of our uncleanness upon Your pure flesh, pure. And You, the innocent victim, sacrificed all in order to wash us clean, a clean like no other. What greater service was ever rendered than laying down His life? What greater slavery could there be than to submission to nails and thorns and beatings? He who was master of the universe made Himself the lowest of the low, the dirtiest of the unclean, the foulest of all sinners. And He took that filth upon Himself, His pure, clean flesh, and He took it to the dark depths of Golgotha. And He took all those times upon Himself when we've been too proud to help certain people. He's taken those times upon Himself when we've maybe even been lazy or complacent. He took all those things upon Himself when we only thought of ourselves in dealing with others in our lives. And because of His sufferings for you, your sins are forgiven. You are clean. He has made it so. And I have the privilege of declaring that to you. And as a forgiven people, we seek to do better, since the Spirit gives us the desire to obey God's commandments. Do we do this on our own? No, we do not. So how do we brace ourselves for the work that hits us the wrong way or that which we do not wish to be involved with, people? We have His Holy Supper. And in this infinite gift, we're not only forgiven of our sins, we are also renewed to continue on our difficult pilgrimage in this world. For you see, richly feeds us again and again with this heavenly food. And this gives us strength for the journey. It makes our weary feet light. And it gives us agility for the difficult path that we call life. We will fail. We do fail. We have failed time and again. Even fed by the food of God, we indeed have and will continue to disgrace our Christian calling. But for such times, we don't say, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. No, we must be ready to have our feet washed. We must be ready to say, I have done wrong. I am a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, have mercy. Perhaps the hardest part of all is going to our fellow sinners to receive the gift of forgiveness. But we must submit to the foot washing by others. Yep. And if you do not allow your feet to be washed, what does He say? Then you have no part in Christ. So therefore, brothers and sisters, come tonight to receive His forgiveness. Confess your sins, be absolved, eat His meal, taste the body and blood given into death for you. And if we say that our sins don't matter, we don't need to receive forgiveness, then we're pushing away from Christ and the cleansing that He gives us. It is dangerous to refuse to come for forgiveness as it is to refuse to forgive. May we cling to the gospel in every way rather than to reject it and push away. My prayer is for all of us to be kept from such unrepentance. My prayer is that God keeps us through Jesus in His love, the love that counted no cost for us, the love that loved us to the end. At the end of this service, we will speak together Psalm 22. And it begins with familiar words to us, the very words of Christ on the cross during His darkest hour. What display of utter servanthood and obedience to the Father's will displayed in grotesque manner for us. The same one who washed men's heels is also the one who let His heel be crushed. The same hands that gently dried them off were also brutally pierced by nails. And this He did out of love for you. And His love has given you eternal life in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, I invite the congregation to stand. There's a slight in-service change as we will continue with the prayer of the church at this time. We will continue with the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, by your righteousness, deliver our souls, which are precious in your sight, from death. Embolden our hearts to pray, confident that Christ prays with us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Everlasting Father, your Son offered himself through the eternal Spirit as a sacrifice without blemish. By this sacrifice, purify our conscience from dead works that we may serve you always in newness and holiness of life. Lord, in your mercy. Amid plagues, enemies, and a world filled with conflict and terror, give us wise leaders, O Lord, and preserve us from harm. Guide those who make and administer our laws to act prudently. Give to all judges knowledge to render justice with mercy. Bless all military, emergency, and medical workers here and abroad. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God of Israel, we rally to your altar in the wilderness of this world. Hear our prayers for Pam and Dorothy and Eleanor and Les and Glenn and Sue and Mike, Carl and Steve, Tom, Jackie, Ken, Susan, Vicky, Brenda, and all those on our hearts and minds, Lord, whom we lift up to you now. Lord, we pray for all those who are sick. Refresh them in their suffering and comfort them with your word and nourish them in body and soul. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. O Lord, you have freed your church from slavery to this world and gather us around your holy mountain, hearing again the proclamation of your New Testament. Cleanse us through Christ's body and blood, which was offered for us on Calvary. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves, our bodies and souls, and all things. Redeem us, O Lord, faithful God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Offerings may be placed in the plates at the exits. At this time, I invite the congregation to continue with the worship folder on page 9 as we sing together the offertory.
A right spirit within me, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and
the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, there life also might rise again, and the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God, amen. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, and your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin. body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul till life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Blessed Savior Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to us in this holy sacrament. Keep us in your faith and favor that we may live in you, even as you live in us. May your body and blood preserve us in the true faith to life everlasting. Hear us for the sake of your name. Amen. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated. We read together Psalm 22 as printed in your bulletin.
My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you, he who took me from the womb, you made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near me, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword. My precious from the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who drink the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it.